Think about the most impactful people in your life. Someone that has made a huge impact on your life, maybe made a difference in your life. And chances are, I'm betting, it's not the richest, it's not the most famous or the most talented, but it's somebody who maybe served you. Maybe it's someone who showed up when you needed it the most. Might have been a teacher. It could have been a friend who showed up when nobody else did. Someone who stooped down and gave of themselves and met you where you were. Service is sticky. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, but it makes a difference. And that's exactly why Jesus came. Not to gather servants, but to serve. And he served humbly, and he served sacrificially. And his grace that he offers to us, this amazing love and this amazing grace, doesn't just forgive us, but it turns us and creates us into people who pour ourselves out. The clearest expression of God's grace in our lives is how we serve others with love. The clearest expression of God's grace in our lives is how we serve others with love. And in Galatians 5:6, from the Contemporary English Version, if you are a follower of Christ Jesus, all that matters is your faith that makes you love others. Father, I pray today that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So Jesus came, and we had this amazing love and this amazing grace, and our natural response to that is to serve. Serving is a natural response to the grace that we've received. Paul says this is in a letter to the Galatians in chapter 5. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Grace frees us from sin. That's what Christ gave us. Frees us from sin, frees us from selfishness, frees us from ourselves, but it also frees us for loving others. Freedom in Christ is not just the autonomy to do whatever we want to do. Hey, thank you for saving me. Now I can do whatever I want to do because I know that you saved me. I know no matter what I do, I'm still going to be in your presence when it all ends and it matters. Grace is not permission to live in a small or self-centered or selfish kind of world. It's liberation now to live out, to pour out. Because true faith moves forward. The paradox of grace, we are free, but we're also free and bound to serve others. So we're free, but then there's a condition to that. If we really want to live in the grace that Christ provided for us. In fact, the Greek word for this is doulete. It literally means, when Paul writes this, it literally means to become a slave to and for others. In other words, I have been set free, so now what I want to do is I want to go out and I want to serve others. And I become a slave for others. I become a slave to Christ to go out and serve and to do what He wills in my life. When someone saves your life, you don't walk away unmoved. If someone pulled you out of a burning house, you'd probably live the rest of your days with gratitude. Linda, I remember the story when we used to get phone calls when Baz got hit by lightning. And everybody was like, what? And we started praying and started praying. What a wonderful story. He's got a great story that he can share. And I thought, like, man, that's a one in a million thing until my wife gets hit by lightning in our kitchen. And she comes in, and we're thinking, like, man, what was that pop in the kitchen? And she comes in, and her hair's like this, and the pan's all done like this. And she's like, I just got hit by lightning. You go away changed because your life has been given something like a new start, new meaning, and it moves us outward because now we trust and we see that God is real, and we start to move, and it's no longer about us and selfishness. And serving others is not about guilt. I'm not trying to guilt you into doing anything. Jason said to me the other day, you know, well, Paul, the first sermon you were saying, like, don't go out and do anything. It's all about love. It's all about love. And then next week you said, go out and do something. What do you want us to do? Well, the thing is, it starts with our love and affection for God. Love God. And then what's the second one? Love others. Well, how do you love others if you're just sitting there doing nothing, loving God the whole time? Love God, then love others. You're free, but you're also free to serve. We don't serve out of a sense of guilt or out of a sense of duty. We serve because that's what God did for us. It's gratitude in motion, and it keeps going and it keeps giving. So, are you using your freedom in Christ for yourself? Are you using it for the good of others? So the first thing, we are free to serve. The second thing we need to understand is that Jesus, if we're going to be living and have grace in action, Jesus is our example and power. Paul writes to the Philippians, he says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. And here is God, emptying himself of himself and coming down to become a servant. He made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant. He's not just our model, and we say, boy, Jesus was great. I wish we could be like him. He's not just that example. He is our source. He's our power. You can go out in your own power. Can you serve people selfishly? Sure you can. With the idea that, okay, I'm going to do this and maybe I'm going to get something in return. Yeah, you can do that all day long. And the person being served may appreciate you being served, but eventually you're going to wear out and you're going to say, nobody's doing anything and I didn't get anything out of it, so I'm not going to serve. I don't want a part of this. Or you get a part of a committee, and the committee, you're serving, then someone else comes in and says, I want to be a part of the committee. And you're like, that's great. Here's what we do, and we do this. And someone says, well, hey, what about if we do this? And you go, no, this is my ministry, and we're going to do it my way. Jesus is our example. Jesus is our power, and he is who we follow. Jesus' service was radical. Think about what he did. He washed feet. He touched the untouchable. He didn't just stoop to wash feet. He stooped all the way to the cross. He laid down his life. The incarnation itself is God's eternal Son choosing to become a servant. And that's what he says in Mark chapter 10. Who is not coming for domination, but substitution, to give his life as a ransom. And when we serve, we reflect that heart of Jesus. So do we live like we're above serving? Like it doesn't matter? If Jesus wasn't above serving, how can we be above serving? All of us. The third thing, serving. Yes, serving changes others. You can make a difference in someone's life. That song, what a difference you've made in my life. What a difference you made in my life. You're my sunshine day and night. Is it sunshine day and night? Why would you have sunshine at night unless you lived up north, way up north somewhere? I don't know. Anyway, that's one of my rabbit holes. There goes a butterfly thing. But the idea is serving not only changes that person, the thing that you're doing for there, but serving changes you, changes us. Margie and I used to do a couples thing at another church, and one of the things that we talked about with the couples is, you want a better husband? Pray for your husband. Not that he would be better, but pray for your husband, everything that he's going through. You want a better wife? Pray for your wife. The way, all the things that she does every single day, pray for your wife. And as you're praying for them, you're going to find out, boy, my wife is so much easier to live with. Or my husband is so much easier to live with. But you know what? God is changing you, and maybe that's why they're easier to live with, because you are being changed. You're not so selfish anymore. This is what Jesus says in John. He says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It earns credibility. It opens doors for gospel conversations. It builds bridges of trust. when you are serving. Serving blesses others, but it also helps us to grow. It changes us. It kills pride in our life. It grows compassion. It forms us into Christ's likeness. I mean, spiritual maturity is not measured by how much Bible you know, but more of how you see Jesus, how people see Jesus raising, going down to the basin and washing feet, and if they see that in you. How much of Jesus people see in you as you serve. That's what makes the difference. We've talked about in our Sunday school class and in our small groups, Sandra brings up a lot and reminds us a lot all the time that it's not about the degrees, it's not about all the fancy things that we do. We are called to be witnesses to what Christ has done for us. And when you share what Christ has done for you, you open the door and people begin to see what Christ has done for you, and then they begin to reflect on what Christ is doing in their lives. Could just be a hot meal that's delivered to someone that's going through grief, or a neighbor showing up with tools when your car's broke down. Those actions speak louder than me standing up here preaching. Acts of service. You can serve inside the church, in the children's ministry. You could be the one that says, you know what, Paul, I want to step up and I want to oversee the Wednesday dinners. Doesn't mean you have to cook everything. You just have to kind of organize it. Maybe it's outside the church, like someone's lawn needs to be cut, or you write cards, or you go and visit shut-ins, or you mentor somebody. Or you serve where it costs, where you are investing in people who can't pay you back. Are you serving in a way that stretches you, or only when it's convenient? There's an old quote that's attributed to Saint Teresa of Avila. It says, Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. I've said you are the hands and the feet and the mouth of Christ. And people judge Jesus Christ and the church and God by the way you live, the things you say, the things that you do. You ever watched a flock of birds flying a perfect V? I mean, we've heard them land on our roof a couple times, but as they're flying in a V, it's beautiful, it's powerful, and scientists say they do that to, one, to conserve energy. Somehow, as their wings are going, it is actually lifting up and helping the others to fly. They protect each other. They stay on course. Alone, they can't go too far. They will tire and wear out, but together, they soar. The same is true for us. If we are living the mission that Jesus gave to us, it was never meant to be lived alone. It's a shared journey. And if you go to the chapter of Acts chapter 2, that's a perfect example of how they all came together, and that's what it looks like. And imagine here, if everyone in this room lived like that were true, what would our homes look like? They would become mission places. Our workplace would become a ministry field. Our neighborhoods would become places where Jesus walks the street with people and through his people. Have you ever walked into a room and flipped on the light switch only to realize that the light was out? It's frustrating, isn't it? That moment of frustration reminds us light only matters when it shines. Other than that, there's just a switch. In the same way, our faith has to be visible. It has to be practical. Hide it under a bushel? No. You've got to let it shine, especially in the ordinary places of life. You see, God never meant faith to be confined just to Sundays, Monday mornings, Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights. It's meant to show up in our workplaces, in our living rooms, and in our neighborhoods. And the mission of Jesus to go into the world isn't just for the church. It's for everywhere you go, and it's in everything that you do. We live the mission most powerfully when we live together as a spirit-filled, grace-shaped community. Again, we live the mission most powerfully when we live together in a spirit-filled, grace-shaped community. And Jesus didn't serve once. He serves us still, interceding on the right hand of God. And he calls us to carry this servant heart into the world. Not just with our lips, but with our hands, our feet, and our open hearts. I love the raising of Lazarus. When he stands at the tomb and he says, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus comes out. And it says he's bound hand and feet, or hand and feet, and there's a shroud around his head. Jesus says, untie him and take the shroud off and give him something to eat. And that's the way many of us are. Jesus calls us out, but we're still bound. And he's saying, take that off, serve. He's saying, take that off, go. He's saying, take that off, speak. Because how will they know if they don't hear? And how will they hear if no one is speaking? We've spent this entire series over the last several weeks talking about loving God, loving others, making disciples, and seeing people change by the transforming power of God's amazing love and grace, which is our mission statement and our vision statement. But none of that can be done in isolation. The mission also is just not out there somewhere. The mission is here. The mission is in your home. The mission is your workplace. It's in your 9-to-5. It's on your street. A lot of us are waiting for whatever big moment that we can have so I can serve in this big moment. But we are called to be faithful in all of the small moments to make a difference. So I want you to commit today not just to live the mission personally, but to live it together in community. And this is our calling, because this is our family. This is who we are, and this is our moment. And so we are to rise up and be the church that God has called us to be. And that is the mission that we are to be living out. Father, thank you for serving us. Father, break us of pride and fill us with your Spirit so that we can pour your love into the world. Show us the people and places where we can serve this week, and give us the heart to do it, not begrudgingly, Father, but with joy and humility. Lord, help us to see our everyday lives as part of your mission. Open our eyes, Father, to the people all around us, those that are hard to love, those that are silent, those that maybe aren't noticed. Let us live out your love in the real world with courage and compassion. And we thank you, Father, for placing us in your family. Thank you for the gift of the church. Help us to love one another deeply and serve one another humbly, and to live our mission boldly together so that the world would see Jesus through us. And Father, we pray this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior. Amen.